Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And today I am here with, you know, I've had so many people request that I do an interview with this person. So many people have messaged me saying, when are you going to do an interview with this person? When are you going to do an interview with this person? And he's very busy. We finally got our calendars to mesh. He is Mr. Neo Magic himself, creator, performer, dealer, lecturer, all-round nice guy, the one and only Vinny Sagu. How you doing, Vinny?
Oof, thank you very much. I'll give myself a round of applause. I'm very well, Craig. Thanks so much for that tremendous introduction. And yeah, there's no exaggeration there. We have been trying to get this interview lined up for some time now. So I'm super happy to be here to be interviewed, I suppose.
I'm really glad that you have, because you're making waves for yourself, you know what I mean? A lot of the magic dealers in the UK have been around forever, you know, the Alakazams and this and that and the other. And Neo Magic is kind of really starting making a name for themselves in the last few years. And a lot of people are talking about your products and about what you do and some of your creations. I've had people, and I haven't seen much of your material. I am planning, and I'm, you know, we spoke off camera, I am planning on spending a lot of time looking at your material. But I've had like people that I trust, like Nemid, who's one of my best friends in the world, and he's turned around to me and said, Vinny's book test is like the best book test in the world. There's no better book test. So I mean, you know, I've got people that I respect telling me how amazing your material is. Oh. And everywhere I turn, I hear Neo Magic, hear this, Neo Magic that. So, you know, you're making waves in a really good way, and that's great to see.
It's nice to hear that as well. And you're gonna have to stop giving me so much kudos, because my head's just gonna go this big and I won't be able to get up the stairs as well. So yeah, you know, what can I say? For me, it was trying to break the mold. And with Neo Magic, a bit about me, my background is I was a lawyer for about 15 odd years. I had a car accident in 2018. End of 2017, 2018, I decided that I wanted to leave the law and start my own magic company. And I love the Matrix, and the Neo, the word Neo means new. It comes from the Greek word neos, which means new. And I decided that seems to be the perfect name for my company, Neo Magic. It was a new beginning for me. So that's exactly what I did. And I wanted to kind of develop products which kind of had a good ethos. So I came up with this ESP philosophy, and that was easy, simple, and powerful. And those were the three components that I needed to add into every trick. And easy, they were easy to perform. B, they were simple for the audience to understand, you know, what was happening with the trick as well. It wasn't confusing. And B, it was powerful as well. So you had that impact. And, you know, I know you're talking about my book test, shameless plug, which is here, called Mystify. And that is, you know, one of the things that I wanted to change. That was one of the first tricks that I came up with. Well, the first trick I came up with was the experiment, which I sold the rights to James Anthony at Magic World. And you know, when you're starting off, you don't really know how your tricks are going to be perceived. Is it going to be a flop, or is it going to do well? And then David Rigo reviewed it in Magic Magazine and said, it was Genie Magazine actually, and said, it's that good, buy two of them because you're going to wear it out. And I think his sales just shot through the roof off that David Rigo kind of thing. And the first time we took it to the session, it sold out within like 40 minutes or something. So his dad had to go and get more. So then I kind of knew that this is something that I perhaps could make a living from as well. And then I started to kind of, then I came up with another trick as well called Word Up, which I'll show you in a second as well. I'll just kind of show you what the kind of concept is. And then I came up with a book test. The book test came to me after I had the accident, and the methodology is to do with the accent in a certain way, but I won't go too much into the detail for it. But what I wanted to change was that, Craig, you'll know more about book tests than I ever will my whole life, but historically book tests are, they're about the size of a barn door. They're massive. Sometimes they look a bit kind of weird. They're about 200 quid sometimes. They, you know, the complicated methods, or they've got the flashback principle, or they've got, they're kind of all like, you know, that there's nothing really new. So when I came up with a book test, I wanted to come up with something which I could fit into the palm of my hand, fit into my top pocket, my back pocket, something that was examinable, something that could be repeatable, something that people could learn in just a matter of seconds or minutes if they knew, you know, they might already have the methodology within them. And, you know, it was modestly priced, about, this is 35 quid I sell it for on my website. And £35 for our book test is pretty good. And I've had people buy 4, 5, 6 copies of this at Blackpool as well. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that when I hit the market, I could give that powerful magic and give people, professional people and whoever it was, a hobbyist, amateur magicians as well, the same opportunity to experience magic and fool magicians and lay people alike. And that's what I did with some of these products as well. So, and then I wanted to create different things as well. So with the mist, people have called it, you know, the best book test in the world. And I thought that's pretty cool. It's been on TV and, you know, it's so easy to do once you understand it. And the methodology behind it is completely different from everything else. You know, they can examine it, you can do all sorts of stuff. So I'm not going to make this a kind of a product kind of interview, but I'm just talking to you about the way I've kind of come around to things. So sometimes, you know, things, this effect came to me literally as a result of an accident, a physical accident that I had. So it was really bizarre. And another thing that I came up with was a trick called Word Up. And this is to do with the word search. And when I was a kid, my mum, when I obviously come from Scotland, my parents used to shove me in on the train, send me to my aunt's over the summer holidays. And they used to go to WH Smith's in those days before there was any kind of mobile phones, buy me a couple of word search books and then just give me them and I just do them all the way there. So when I kind of got older, I wanted to come up with a trick involving a word search. And this probably took me around about maybe 3 or 4 years perhaps to come up with it. I had the idea and then I was on a flight back from Glasgow. And then I came up with the actual concept for the, you know, the way that it would work and stuff like that. And it's basically, you've got a word search, loads of words on it. You just pick a word and then the word then that they're thinking of, they don't tell you, it just disappears completely from the word search, ends up on the other side, and then you can hand it out to them and they can check the word search out as well. And it's just totally bonkers. And I showed that to a few people. And then I had to start a Facebook group, and there's so many different ideas from that as well. So I just like to kind of come up with things that are a little bit different, you know, that kind of break the norm of magic rather than just everything being, I love packet tricks and that's one of my forties. And I think you know that as well, but I like to come up with different things as well. So, and I like to talk a lot as well. So I'm going to like answer questions.
Of course you do, man. You're Scottish. I've never met a Scot that doesn't. And that's cool. And I want to talk more about neo magic and specifically about your creations and about your theory behind creating. But before I do, I want to give people a little bit of context, because obviously you kind of glossed over the whole, hey, I was a lawyer and then I had an accident and now I'm a magic dealer. I'd like to just talk a little bit more about your kind of your origin story. Mm-hmm. So when did, because it's kind of a weird thing, you know, I've got this high, you know, this career as a lawyer, which is incredible. And it's like, well, now I'm going to completely switch gears. Mm-hmm. When did you get into magic? When did the bug bite you? I mean, were you into, I'm guessing you didn't like kind of have an accident and then, you know, go, I'm going to be a magic dealer. I'm guessing there was some, you know, you were into magic beforehand. Where did that, what's your origin story, Finney?
Yeah, so originally from Scotland, and I learned my first magic trick when I was just 8 years old. I think your son's 8 exactly just now as well. So, you know, about his age, that's when I first learned my first magic trick, and it was a ball and vase. And I remember seeing it, and the guy that was demonstrating to me, he would take the ball, put it in his pocket, click his fingers, it was back. And I was like, this is incredible. How is he doing this? It's just like, and then he click his fingers, it disappeared, and back in his, I was like, this is phenomenal. He did it to me. I went to a birthday party, and he was an older kid. He must have been about 12, 13 or something. And he did it probably about 100 times or something. And I was just absolutely astonished by it. And at the end of the night, I just missed the whole entire birthday party. I missed the cake. I missed all the celebrations and everything just because this kid was doing this trick. And at the end of the night, he gave it to me. And it was one of the most prized possessions I ever had. I ended up losing it through my childhood. Did it, probably lost it in the woods or something. But, you know, and then that was a real kind of catalyst for me. Then I got my mum and my dad, anywhere we went shopping or anything like that, I'd be looking around for magic tricks. In those days, it was all the same kind of stuff in blister packs, and you'd get it and it had these really small kind of folded instructions. And I, you know, as an eight-year-old kid, you don't want to sit there and read that. So I used to get my dad to translate it and kind of show me how it worked and stuff like that. And that's where I kind of, and then I found out there was a shop in Glasgow when one day I was shopping with my mum to get school uniforms and stuff, called Tam Shepherd's. And it was owned by Roy Walton, the late Roy Walton. So I used to go in there when I was a bit older. I could, you know, my mum and dad would trust me on the bus, go in there to pick up my abracadabra on a Saturday morning for 50 pence. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with all the packet tricks then. It was stuff like, you know, Twisted Sisters, I think, was the first packet trick I ever bought by John Bannon. I remember practicing it for ages and stuff. I bought a cartoon as well by Dan Harlan when it was, you know, way before, when it was just like kind of the first kind of role of it being released. And Tenyo Magic was my favorite stuff. You know, I would save up for months to get Tenyo Magic because it was expensive. But, you know, 15 quid these days is probably not that much for a pack of trick, but 15 quid or 20 quid or 25 quid back in, you know, the 90s and stuff like that, you know, early 90s was a lot of money, to be fair. And there's no way my mom would give me 20 quid to go buy a plastic toy. So I used to do that. And then I used to go in there and buy, you know, all sorts of other stuff. And I used to go into Tam Shepherd's and I used to buy all the magic stuff. And I used to walk out and I never knew that it was Roy Walton that owned the shop. I thought his name was Tam. So I used to go and call him Tam for, so for years I called him Tam and he never once corrected me. He's such a nice guy. And then later on in years when I went back and bought all these Walton books and stuff, I signed them to me and I said, you know what, you've been a great influence in me growing up. So that's where it kind of sparked. And then I came to university in England, spent about 7 years studying various parts of law, decided that, you know, I wanted to make a change in the world. Spent about 15 years practicing law in various kind of parts of the country, had an accident, and then decided that basically I didn't really enjoy it as much as I thought, and I decided that magic was the thing. And I told my wife about 8 months before I was due to get married that I'm going to leave the law and I'm going to set up my own magic company. So she's like, right, let's get you straight to the hospital. I think you've totally, there's something wrong with you. And I said, don't worry Sheena, I've got this awesome plan. I'm going to sell my house and I'm going to invest it in a magic company and then we'll pay for the wedding and stuff. I should just start wheeling even faster. And anyway, that's what I did. So sometimes you've got to do crazy things. You know, they always say that the craziest people in the world, you know, are the ones that think that, I can't, or is the people that think that they can change the world are usually the ones that do, the craziest people. Yes. So I thought if I really want to make an impact, I've really got to be serious about this. So I sold my house and I invested in the wedding. We're still married. And I, you know, put the rest into buying the best quality. So I spent a year, probably from 2018, just designing packet tricks and coming up with tricks. And then I got USPCC involved and I got them to print the cards. So all the packet tricks I've got are all USPCC printed packet tricks. So they're the highest quality I could get. And then with the booklets, I've designed them so that they're, you know, the instructions are actually an 8-page booklet. So you can flip through them and they've got photos in them and they've got written instructions and they've got a download link. So in years to come, should the link be defunct, you can still pull this booklet out. And people like Magic Orthodoxy have, you know, given me a lot of kudos for that, saying, you know what, I really appreciate Vinny going through the lens. And I think it takes a lot longer, but the end result is, you know, you're giving a lot more to the end consumer. You're giving them a lot more quality as well, products. So that's a bit, that's me in a whistle stop tour.
And that's really interesting. I mean, when you were practicing law for 15 years, were you still doing magic as a hobby? Was it still something that you did? Or did you kind of fully immerse yourself in law and then kind of go, you know what, I have to put this magic thing aside because I'm so busy doing this? Like, was there still an element of performing and practicing and learning?
Yeah, I think I was a part of the, when I was living in Manchester, I was part of the Manchester Circle of Magicians, and I loved magic. So probably every night, you know, I used to, you know, watch magic DVDs or, you know, just come up with tricks and stuff like that. And, but it was, the law was quite a heavy part of my life. And I'd find that, you know, you'd be working long hours, say you'd start maybe 7 a.m. Sometimes you wouldn't finish till 10 in the evening. And then you start that again. Weekends, you'd be kind of sucked into dipping in and out of files as well and doing a lot of stuff. So it really was, if you're a lawyer, you really need to give it 100% all the time, because, you know, you really need to be focused. And you could be in court one day, so you're going to be preparing over the weekend for the court the next week and stuff. So it was, there was a lot to it. And I just found that, you know, at the end of it, after my accident, I thought in 5-10 years time, nobody's going to remember me for a case that I dealt with them 5-10 years previously, but they may remember me for a trick that I've picked up, or they picked up and said, you know, somebody's written this book or somebody's picked up this trick. So they might remember it. So that's my legacy, as it were, as such. So yeah, so I've always enjoyed it. And I used to do, I remember people saying to me, Vinny, can you, we've got an event going on, you know, some kind of awards, can you come and do some magic? I'm like, yeah, cool, I'll do some magic. And it always gave me the chance to practice some of the stuff that I was kind of working on myself, because I wasn't getting paid for it per se. So, you know, I'd be going to the event anyway, can you do some magic, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no worries, I'll do it. So it'd give me a chance to try out some stuff as well. And in the background, after doing all these things, I probably had about 300 odd tricks that I'd written down ideas for and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. But I think out of those, Craig, probably only about 10% are actually any good. So we're talking about 30 tricks. And out of those 10%, only about maybe, you know, maybe 10 tricks are going to be decent enough to kind of actually get out. So it's not a case you've got 300 tricks, I'm just going to put them all out. So I only put out maybe at the maximum half a dozen tricks in a year or something like that. You know, a couple of booklets, maybe a couple of pack of tricks, and that's it. I don't saturate the market. So it's not, you know, every week I'm putting out new and new stuff, which I think this is a problem we've got with magic. I think, you know, there's some amazing stuff out there, but in 2-3 weeks, people have forgotten about it. And then, you know, it's such a shame. It's such a short-lived. So with me, with Neo Magic, I wanted to make sure that I was in control of it, so I could refresh it in a year's time. And, you know, new people have come to the table and they can enjoy it as well.
That's great. That's awesome. And I want to talk to you more about the state of magic at the moment from a dealer's perspective. Before I do, let me ask you one other question. You've talked about performing at events for free. At no point have you ever said going out and performing or having a desire to be a working magician. Is that anything that you ever kind of had on your radar when you were learning magic? You know, I want to go out and perform and get paid for it. Or was that something, because, you know, some of the best magicians in the world, you mentioned John Bannon earlier on, he's a you know, a hobbyist, and he's proud of it. So it's not a bad thing. I just wondered if you ever had a desire to go out and make a living as a magician, or if it was always kind of more of a hobby for you.
I think for me, I did initially, you know, I've done gigs before. I've done them with quite a few people as well. And I've done, you know, loads of different things. I've done loads of events. But I enjoy that part of it as well, but I don't enjoy it as much as inventing tricks and fooling people like magicians and stuff like that, and letting them almost take the gratification for that effect, you know, letting them have it. I think that is quite nice. And actually then getting the people coming back to you and saying, you know, I did your trick on blah, blah, I really enjoyed it. That seems to be more for me. I get a lot more kind of benefit from that. That's what I think. I think there's people like Nemed and yourself and stuff like that are fantastic performers, and you'll always be real, and you're good creators as well. It's not to say that you don't do both, but I think, you know, there's people, sometimes I have to put my hands up and say there's people that are better than me at something, you know, and I think they're better at performing than me. And I'd rather, when people say to me, Vinny, we're looking for an event, can you do it? I say, look, I'm not your guy, but I'll tell you some people that are good, and I'd rather give them the work and let them have it and enjoy it and do that. And other people come back to me and say, you know, it might be later on in life. Like, I've got ambitions to kind of go to the biggest mask convention in the world and get up on stage and fool mask professors and stuff like that with some basic maths and some stuff that I've come up with. And I've got my own kind of goals, but I think you know, I don't want to just get sucked into a vacuous of doing something just purely because it's going to pay the bills. I'd rather follow my passion, because you've only got one shot at this life and there's no point of just doing something for the sake of money. And my passion has always been creating magic and, you know, and enjoying it that way. So, yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. And I totally agree. Totally agree 100%. So you had this accident, you know, you're doing magic as a hobby, you're creating magic just for yourself. You then have this accident and you have this epiphany that you want to go and set up a magic dealership. You sell your house, you freak your wife out or your wife to be, and you go out and you set up a magic company. That's a very risky thing to do. I mean, how many years ago was that, if you don't mind me asking?
It was 2018 I did it. And yeah, it was a massive, massive risk. And looking back at it, like, you know, so that's 2018. And in that year, you've got to remember that we've had a global pandemic within that, you know, within those 3 years. So we're at 2021 just now. We've had a global pandemic for exactly 18 months. So technically, it's only been about 18 months, if you can really, you know, put it down to that. And I think what I have looked back at is how much I've achieved. So sometimes you have to look back at just minor increments. And I've been down at the local library because I've got a new book on maths and magic as well. And our local library are going to do a book launch for me. So I was down there like, can you bring press releases and stuff? And it's quite nice that I went down. And in that period of time, I've now partnered up with another company to produce magic tricks as well. I've got a new book, the library are doing that. I was featured in Magic Scene magazine, Toy World magazine, the magazine for our county as well. I was in that this month as well. So it's nice to see they're doing a notice board with all these bits and bobs on it now. Yeah, so it's nice to kind of see all that coming together now after the short period of time.
And for sure, you are absolutely making a name for yourself. Now, one thing that you, and now correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be wrong, and I am wrong an awful lot, to be honest. Your stuff doesn't go in through Murphy's, does it?
Some of it does. I would say I used to take a lot of the stuff through Murphy's, but a lot of the stuff doesn't go through Murphy's as well. Like my new book, that's not going through Murphy's just now. And I've got two booklets that are for magicians as well. Sky's the Limit, Beyond Limits, which are, you know, they're quite high-end booklets. You're paying like 25 quid for a booklet, but you know, you're getting five effects in there, and I think 5 quid in effect, I think it's worth it. And I'd rather, you know, to be fair, when Magic Scene reviewed it, I had it at 20 quid and they said that it's too cheap, and you know, for what you're getting, because the effects were so powerful in there. And yeah, so some of the stuff I take through Murphy's, other stuff I don't, and I just like it that way, I think, you know, to kind of have it a blend. And I try to, some of the other stuff I tried to make exclusive with other companies as well. Like, you know, I've done some stuff with Premier Magic as well over in the Netherlands. I did stuff with Stevens Magic over in the US as well. And just trying to help other magic shops up as well. Because it's quite a difficult game, I think, for them as well.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So Murphy's have helped me in the initial stages. And, you know, I probably will take more stuff through them. But, you know, some stuff, you know, they might not like to take on themselves because, you know, they might not think there's any merit in it, but I know that there is, so I'll hold on to that myself.
And all of the stuff that comes out through Neo Magic, it's really your own creation. You know, you see a lot of magic dealers that produce their own material, and they have creators that go in and go, okay, this is a trick, yep, by so-and-so. This is... Everything you put out is your own trick. Now, would you ever work with somebody else, or are you wanting to make Neo Magic about Vinny Segu's creations and releases?
Yeah, so it was mostly just about my stuff, because I didn't have to, I could work, because I'd invested so much into the business to begin with. And then I thought, I've worked in the industry for long enough that if then people start saying, right, well, royalties and this, that, the next, I didn't want to complicate things. And I just, if it made a deficit and it didn't like kind of, you know, kick off as well as I wanted to, then I only want to be accountable to myself, and I didn't want to let anybody else down. And that was one of the main reasons I decided to keep it to myself. And I've got some fantastic friends that are creators as well that have come up with some amazing stuff, and they wanted to collaborate. And I've just had to say to them, look, I'm just going to take this ride on my own. I said, you know, our paths might cross in the future, but just now, for the foreseeable future, I just want to see if I can organically build it up myself. And you know, and that's what it is. I know organic's probably not your favorite word, but yeah.
No, it's a great stance to take, you know. At least then you know that the quality is there. You're not having to worry about what other people are doing. Yeah. You are solely responsible for the output. So you can manage that because it's all your creations. So that absolutely makes complete sense. 100%. Yeah. I suppose the question I've got to ask you, do you have any advice for people that are watching this on how to create a magic trick? And I've spoken about this on the channel before, but when people come into magic, when new people go into magic, they hold creators up on pedestals. It's like, oh my gosh, look at this person. I want to be like them. I want to create magic. And I think a lot of people that come into magic, they want to create magic themselves. And they want to actually be that person who's got that trick out at that convention with their name on the box or whatever it may be. As somebody who creates a lot of magic that is being used by magicians all over the world, do you have any advice on how to create a magic trick that's successful?
I think, I know David Jonathan, he's got like a whole, within his lecture, he does like a kind of a creativity. He's done stuff for Alakazam just based on creativity as well. And, you know, his advice is really good on it as well. And when David was starting off, we kind of really gelled together and, you know, we spoke about a lot of things. My kind of golden rule for creativity is that I don't think there's any real rules or kind of guidance to creativity. You can't force creativity. You can't, you know, everybody, doesn't matter how old you are, where you come from, you know, what sex you are, anything about you, wherever you are in the world, people say to me, I just haven't got that creativity gene. It's because you haven't tried. You can do anything. I hate these people that say, that person or he or she, they're born with it. They're amazing at it. I wasn't in the best math class when I was a kid. I was probably in like the second lowest math class. I've just written a book based on math magic. You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell? Who's gonna tell you can't do something and come up with it? What I will say that if you're doing something just purely for the ego or just for the kudos, then that is not probably the right way to go about the trick. But if you want to create something, first create it for yourself. You know, if you enjoy it, then that'll come through in the magic because people say you're really passionate about it. You know, sometimes you go to Blackpool and people are demonstrating stuff that's not theirs. They're not passionate about it, but it won't convey it. A perfect example is my friend's mum bought a trick by this chap, an Italian chap at Blackpool. She doesn't really do magic, bought a trick and it was all in Italian instructions. Didn't understand it. I asked her to show me. She goes, I don't know. But she was just totally enamored by his, you know, his like energy and charisma and stuff. So if you've got that, then you're probably 90% of the way there. My ideas come to me normally when I'm in the shower, and some things you might need to bank for a good few days, months, or even years. This took me like, you know, 3 or 4 years for a plastic card with a word search on it for the idea to materialize, a good few years. It just came to me on the aeroplane back. So I think in order to switch on your creativity light bulb, you need to switch off from, I think, your electronic devices and stop all these distractions. And the easiest way that I can probably almost guarantee you'll come up with something is if you go for a walk for around about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, just go for a walk and just have a look at the surroundings. Think about something, don't force it. And you'll begin to then start seeing things in different ways as well. And you'll get ideas as well. Look at nature, look at different things. Don't look at what everybody else is doing. Don't look at this is, you know, a flap card. Instead of the flap coming in, you know, like vertically, I'll make it horizontally or diagonally, or I'll make two flaps coming in this way or that way. You know, that's fine, but have a look at something else. You know, instead of a card being a flap, why can't it be like maybe a Rubik's Cube, or it could be something totally, maybe adapting different things to different principles. And with, like, as I said, with the book test, I took a book test, a book, and I took a principle that's been around for hundreds of years that has never been probably applied to magic, and I merged them together through an accident. And I came up with a brand new principle, and people are saying, you know, it's probably one of the best book tests in the world. And I'm like, well, you know, it's just something you don't need to come up with. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. is what I'm saying, is that sometimes you just need to, you know, just kind of have a look at what's already out there and just merge different things together to kind of come up with something. So you don't need to be that person. Sometimes, you know, it's nice to kind of just let other people take the limelight. So I like it when I go to Blackpool and other people, and I'm walking around and somebody's maybe demonstrating like a packet trick they've bought from me, and everyone's like, oh my God, that's brilliant. It almost like it's nice, isn't it? It's nice to kind of see people enjoying the moment without you kind of going and saying, oh, that's my trick, let me show you some tips for it. Just let them enjoy it, have your drink and walk away.
That's great. That's absolutely awesome. And you mentioned earlier on about the state of magic, and you talked about how so many tricks are coming out these days, and it's true. You know, you go on somewhere like Penguin Magic and you hit refresh and there's like another 50 tricks every single day, every single day, like boom. And, you know, you talked about Twisted Sisters. Back when Twisted Sisters first came out, I think, you know, there was a new trick once every couple of months. And, you know, it was a rare thing for a new trick to come out. Whilst these days you can't breathe for more than a second without a new trick coming out. Do you think that harms the industry, or do you think that that's okay and the cream will rise to the top? And if it does harm the industry and it is an issue, what can we as a magic community do about it?
I think they're good questions. Both of those questions are good. And you've been in the industry long enough as well, Craig, that you've got some of your favorites that you'll always go back to. And sometimes, you know, we see effects that come out again, perhaps rebranded, as somebody just tweaked us something about it and stuff like that. From an industry perspective, I think it's difficult for magic shops to kind of, you know, bricks and mortar shops now to exist, because they can't keep up with that turnover. If you go into a supermarket, they get that fresh fruit and vegetable in. People will buy the same things and stuff like that. So people keep going back to, I suppose, magic shops to get that stuff. But it's difficult because old stock, I suppose, you know, then they've got to sell it at a discounted rate, and then they're not really making things. And then you find a lot of people that are in magic shops are actually, they've got other jobs as well. They'll be gigging as well. They might have a print business as well. Their wife will, you know, be doing something as well. So they've got multiple incomes, and it's difficult. And they do the bricks and mortar shop because they might get that Saturday afternoon crowd that come in and they enjoy it and they have a chat, they have a coffee, and they might buy a couple of decks of cards or stuff, but they're not going to make a living from it. They're not going to make, you know, a lot of money. So it's a difficult, I don't really, I think everything seems to be going towards the internet, and this is the way, you know, technology is going to advance as well, with apps and all the rest of it. But I still love packet tricks and stuff. I still love little things like that. And I think somebody said Emerson West's Color Monte, I think that has sold somewhere like 500,000 copies in its time. And if you've got something that's really, really good, that's going to stand the test of time, then I think, you know, that's the best thing, rather than just putting out stuff purely just to see it as a money thing. So I'm hoping stuff like this, you know, like my book test, in years to come, it will still be recognized by people and people will still buy it in packet tricks, and they'll still perform these things. So they'll have staples in there, you know. Kudos to like people like Richard Sanders and stuff like that. You go to any gig, guaranteed everybody will be doing, you know, his extreme burn and stuff like that, or somebody will be sponge balls and stuff. So some things are always in the magician's arsenal. And I think they'll keep going, but it's in order to help, I think, for other people, is just, you know, support like all the businesses, any all magic shops and stuff like, I think they all need a hand. So it's difficult. I don't know the exact answer for it, but it's a dynamic industry, and it's changed a lot from what it was maybe 20 or 30 years. But everything changes, and sometimes change is a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. And I think now what it's doing is it's allowing independent creators to now enter the market with new material as well, that perhaps they would have had to perhaps pitch it to a magic shop or another magic shop, and if there's only two or three of them and they said no, then it would never see the daylight. But then the flip side is a lot of garbage is coming through as well now, and you're getting a lot of people just putting out rubbish on Penguin Magic. You can just put a download, it could be like, you know, a pen with like a elastic band, it fires up their sleeve and they're doing it for $15 or something, and people are getting annoyed with it. So it's damaging the industry from that perspective, but I don't think there's much we can do about it.
It's true, but the problem is a lot of magicians, they love toys. I mean, you talked about loving Tenyo. They love toys. And the problem is a lot of the new tricks that come out, if people are looking for a clever trick, they're better looking like 20 or 30 years ago and looking the stuff that came out all those years ago, you know, Strangers Gallery, Twisted Sisters, whatever it may be. It's just as good now as it was back then.
Yeah.
If not better, and definitely a lot better than the other stuff, a lot of the other stuff that's coming out. But people are always looking for that new shiny thing, you know, because I'm looking for that trick that's going to make me famous, you know, so and the search continues, you know, so I think that's an issue as well. People's buying habits, they tend not to look at the older stuff, and they're always looking for what's new.
I think that's the difference. There's like Instagram magic, which wasn't around when I was, you know, a kid and stuff like that. And now there's magic specifically that, hold on, you can buy this and it's going to look amazing for Instagram. In the real world, no, you can't perform it. You're going to have to put this back in the drawer. You can only bring it out now and again for Instagram. But I think my kind of clientele, I would say, like the kind of customers that I have are really loyal. So they tend to buy a lot of my stuff, and they tend to buy, you know, whatever I come out with, they tend to buy it because they know the quality they're going to get. They're going to get that same ESP philosophy, easy, simple, powerful stuff. And my stuff's not knuckle busting. It's not gimmicky. It's just kind of clever thinking stuff that I'm used to, you know, and that's what I enjoy about it as well. So, and I know there's people out there that are fantastic with Rubik's Cube. I'm rubbish with Rubik's Cube. I can't do the thing. Coin magic, I'm rubbish with it. SpongeBob magic, can't do anything with it. You know, stuff with, you know, handkerchiefs, stuff like that, not good with it. Cardistry, not good with it. But when it comes to maybe maths and mental magic and mentalism and packet tricks and stuff, that's my forte. So that's why I say, you know, if you want this kind of stuff, then, you know, there's separate people that'll do it for you, you know. But I've got my kind of, you know, the kind of people that really enjoy my stuff, and they buy it, and as soon as they come up with something new, they buy all of the stuff again. And you know, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for the people that, you know, invested their time and money in supporting me. So that's really good.
Well, if somebody's never heard of Neo Magic before, obviously you're based in the UK, but you ship worldwide.
Yep.
Fair to say, yeah. So I say that because there's a lot of people from different countries that watch this. So if somebody's watching this and they're thinking, you know what, I really like this Vili guy, I'm going to try Neo Magic out. What would you say are the top three tricks that you've produced in the 4 years that you've been going, or the 3 years that you've been going, that would give people a good flavor of what the company is all about? So they can jump on your website and go, right, okay, I'm going to get that.
It depends. Some of the stuff is in English as well. So like my book test is probably going to be only suited for English speaking, you know, where it's, so like maybe the UK and the US, because the book test is probably one of my best selling things. But if you live in Germany, perhaps, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult to kind of to use it there. So it depends. First of all, the shipping part is true. You said it's free shipping anywhere in the world. So it doesn't matter if you buy something for £10, you buy something for £35, I'll pay for the shipping anywhere in the world. So this book, for instance, is like a really, really heavy book. It's only £15 for this book. And to send it to America, it cost me £8.30 just for the book, without the printing, without the packaging, without anything else. So in fact, after I've sent it, I'll probably only make in a few pence, but I'd rather somebody have the benefit from it. So it's not, for me, it's not about putting the money first, it's putting the customer first to make sure that they are happy, you know, with the product. So anything you buy, I would say, if you're from like an English speaking country and you want to, you know, try some cool, cool stuff that nobody's got, I would say Mystify, the book test, is fantastic. I'd also say Word Up is a really cool thing because it's made from plastic cards, so you can keep it in your wallet. It comes with a 125-year guarantee. So if it perishes within that time, I'll give you a new one. So if you live to 125, I'll be happy. I would say probably Colorful Kings is a little packet trick, which I really quite enjoy as well. That's really quite easy, and you can adapt that. And if you're not from, you know, not in English, then I would say have a look at Bucket List, which is with photographs, and you don't need to do anything with that. You know, you can use that. That's quite a cool trick with photographs. And one of the best-selling downloads I've ever, I didn't envisage how well it'd go. It's just gone through the roof. It's called Intense. And it's with 10 cards. And check out the demo of it. It's like literally, you can see the Penguin Magic reviews on it as well. It's just like, it's just gone through the roof. It's a really, really powerful download. And that's like £5 or $7 or something like that. It's on Penguin Magic. It's on my website. It's called Intense. It's really, really good if you want something just instant. So, and I should say that if anybody doesn't want to spend anything, that's cool as well. Jump onto my website. I've got two magazines, new magazine volume 1 and 2. You can download those for free. There's loads of free stuff. And if you subscribe, then you'll get the code for a PDF called Lucky 7, which is a trick with 7 random cards you can borrow. You can do it on Zoom. You can do it over the telephone. You can do it blindfolded. And they can use 7 business cards with things written on them. You can use 7 trump cards. You can do anything, that, you know, 7 like kind of cards that you want to use. And it's a really, really good mentalism trick as well. And that's totally free. It's normally £5. You can have that as well, just to subscribe.
You do realize that in business, you're not meant to give away all this stuff.
I know. My wife says that, but it's, I think kind people are my kind of people. So I like to, you know, make sure that I look after my customers. And when people buy stuff from me, I like to kind of go through their order to make sure what they've bought, see if it suited them, if they're happy with things. So I write a note to them as well, saying, how are you getting on with this trick that you bought maybe 6 months ago? Or say, you know, if they've messaged me, and I just kind of keep a tab of what they've messaged, just to refresh myself, and I say, how's things getting on with this? How are you getting on with that? And people really like that kind of personal touch, rather than just ramming it in a package, sending it off to them and forgetting about them. I like to make sure that when I meet up with people, I shake their hand, you know, talk to them and stuff like that as well. So it's nice. I think that's what it's all about. It's the real magic is just the human to human connections that we can make through life.
I completely agree. 100% agree. Absolutely. And you are building up a big tribe of followers and customers that hang off your every word, which is great. Do you ever worry? I'm guessing that the answer is no, but do you ever have like the magical equivalent of writer's block, or do you ever worry that you're going to have the magical equivalent of writer's block? Because obviously your business model, you don't sell magic from anyone else. You don't have any other artists that come to you. Likewise, you don't sell stuff from Murphy's. So it's not like you have every product that's ever come out. It's your material. And with that business model, obviously it revolves around continually creating magic, and also continually creating good magic, because you've got this reputation that you've cultivated that's grown and grown and grown. And you know as well as me, one bad product could kill that. So do you ever worry that you've got to have a certain amount of output, or is that not an issue? Is it, I mean, I know you said at the beginning, like, you love creating. Is this like just a challenge for you? You know, how's that?
I think it's definitely quality over quantity for me. I don't want to do that. And some stuff I've got, it's really, really good stuff, but I'll hang on to it because I'm not in any hurry just now to kind of put it out. At the beginning, it was a bit of a race to get like a certain glut of products there so that I would have a shelf. Because you can't set up a website with just like 2 products on it. You know, if somebody buys both of them, it's like, well, where'd I go? So then I started blogging and doing little bits and bobs. But I've got like, I've had emails off loads of people as well, because my first booklet was Sky's the Limit for the magic community, which went down really well. And there's a trick in there called Digits, which is just, I've done it at live lectures and people are, oh my God, this is just, what the hell? And, you know, I remember coming up with a principle, going to sleep in it. The next morning, my wife going to work pre-COVID, and she came back after work at 5 o'clock. I'm still in bed, just balls of paper and like numbers written up everywhere. And I came up with this kind of new system, and it's just amazing. So Sky's the Limit, then Beyond Limits was my second booklet, which I did as well. And then my third one, New Horizons, was meant to be coming out at the beginning of this year. And I keep taking things out of it and putting things in, and then I'm still not 100% with everything. And until I get to, and it's only 5 items in this book, and until I'm happy with it, I'm almost there, I'm about 90% there now. Until I'm 100% happy with it, I don't think I'll want to release it. And I think hopefully if I can get it out by Christmas, that'll be fine. If not, it'll be next year. So even though it was meant to be out in January, I've taken a whole year to consider it again. And within that time, okay, I've written another book on maths and stuff, and I've come up with a couple of packet tricks. But apart from that, no, I'm not in any rush. And at the end of the day, I'd rather put stuff out. You know, I very rarely see things on secondhand magic and Facebook and stuff with my stuff on it. And if people do sell it, that's fine. It's good, you know, that somebody else will get benefit from it. but very rarely people tend to buy it and then they use it or they keep it and stuff like that. So I think that's good kind of kudos for me.
Brilliant. That's absolutely fantastic. So let me ask you one more question. What's the plans moving forward? I mean, you've just said you've been running this for 3 years, 18 months we're in a global pandemic. The world is starting to open up, hopefully, yep. And you know, we're going to conventions again and so on and so forth. What goals do you have both personally and for Neo Magic? Is there anything left in your magical bucket list that you want to achieve? What are you wanting to achieve moving forward?
Loads of stuff. I think for me, the best is still yet to come. And that's the way I see it. And I always try to do better, you know, than I did the day before to try and better myself and see how I can do that. So conventions next year, unfortunately, I won't be at Blackpool, but I'll be back in 2023. And I think for me, it's a book launch. I'm trying to now get more kids interested in magic as well, and this kind of maths magic. And I think that is something that I'd like to focus on as well. I'd like to probably do a TED talk one day as well. And I invent other products as well. So I've got another one for a patent pending with it's non-magic related. So I like to come up with other things as well. So I think the kind of goal is to kind of walk into either, you know, one shop like maybe Sainsbury's or something and see product there, then go across to like Toys R Us or TK Maxx or wherever and see like magic stuff there, and then go to Waterstone, see a book. So I think for me, it's a kind of a long-term goal of just trying to leave a lasting legacy. So it's, you know, it's going to be good. So, you know, I think there's so many things, and I think I don't even know where I'm going to end up, but I know I'm just enjoying the journey just now as well. And that's the main thing, I think.
It really is. Hmm. And very quickly, your newest release is the book, the Magic and Maths book. Ryland's going to lose his mind over this because that's his two favorite things in the world, magic and maths. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Is it for kids? Is it for adults? You've mentioned wanting to get kids in magic. Who's the intended audience for this?
He's going to be my perfect audience. Well, to be fair, I've just been down to the library today because I'm doing a book launch at the local library soon. And then I've got an event as well that I'm doing with another company to help children with creativity and core subjects. So that is, you know, I would say it's not just purely for kids. It's for, because there's some principles in here. And one of the principles in this book I'm using in a new book test as well. So in the right hands, this can be, you know, some very powerful things within this book. And I think, you know, as soon as the first batch went out, I had magicians emailing me and calling me saying, I've just picked up one of the tricks from there, and I put it onto the back of my business card. Like, I think they ordered it over the weekend. I sent it to them on Monday. They got it on the Tuesday. That day they ordered the business cards because they had a gig on the Saturday or something like that, on like super rapid delivery. So they did everything quickly so they could get it. So there's things that you can apply. If you're a working magician, you'll find good stuff in there. But it's a little bit different. So it's a real heavy book. It's got 45 maths tricks in it, and it's got 12 teaching videos. So you can scan, there's a QR code and it's got a link. So you've got 12 things, and it's not, you know, some of the stuff you've seen before, it might be stuff like the mystery calculator, or maybe like symbols and different things like matrix and stuff, but there's 6 PDFs, so they can download them as well, and they can cut them out and they can use all these effects as well. So you're getting 45 tricks with cards, without cards, stuff with mental magic, stuff with invisible dice, with dominoes, with paper clips, with balls of paper, sweets, all sorts of crazy stuff in here. 45 math-based tricks, and it's only 15 quid. And I think that's an absolute bargain because the book itself is really heavy stock. So when you see it yourself, Craig, you'll realize that, you know, this is something which is not, you know, the cheapest material. This is probably like one of the highest grades of you know, the book I could get. So yeah, it's only 15 quid, shipped anywhere in the world, and it's done really, really well in the pre-launch. And in fact, I've been close to selling out of it 3 times. I just had to get the third order in last week as well of real books. So yeah, and I've got more coming in a couple of weeks' time as well, because it's just people are buying 2, 3, 4 copies. And I thought it's good, you know, people like are just going to be children, but I've had people that are professors and people with OBEs and maths teachers buying this book so they can learn to teach kids and stuff. So it's for anybody, you know, it's for anybody aged between 6 to 600, so anybody could really get any benefit from it, you know, depending on how you use it.
That's very, very cool.
It sounds amazing. It sounds amazing. As I say, Ryland is going to absolutely love it. Before we go, can you give us a sneak peek? I'm not asking you to perform anything. I'm not asking you to give away much details, but is there anything you can tell us about stuff that you've got coming out in the next 6 months? I'm sure you've got things on your agenda. You've got things in various stages of development. I don't want names. I don't want specifics. I just wondered if there's, you know, anything that you can say.
Yeah, I've got one thing that I'm working on. It's a new book test, but it's probably going to be the most craziest bonker like book test you've ever seen in your life. If I can pull it off and it works, because I'm, you know, sometimes you go to bed with an idea and I'm still kind of molding this, and it's just going to be totally bonkers. It's just going to be it's going to be maybe three or four different principles that have never been used in a book test before in a book test.
Wow.
And it's going to have all different colors and images and letters, so you can use loads of different things as well. So I just don't know how I'm going to kind of culminate it together. And if I can pull that off, that'll be quite cool, because it's going to be the most bizarre book ever, and it'll be quite cool. So that's something I'm working on. And obviously New Horizons is going to be my third booklet as well, to follow the kind of Limitless series, as I call it. So Sky's the Limit was the first one, Beyond Limits, and then New Horizons is going to be the third booklet. So those two are the big projects for the next couple of months, and they're going to be for professional magicians and stuff like that, and amateur hobbyists. Again, easy, simple, powerful stuff.
Wow. I said I haven't seen much of your stuff, and I haven't. The one thing that I have seen that I thought was really, really good was the wild card that you did. It was kind of like a wild card with tens.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of Pronto Print by Daryl, but it was better. It was better than Daryl's. But not that I want to speak ill of the dead, because Daryl was amazing, but
yeah.
your version was just super colorful. It was really good.
Yeah, thanks. It's it came from inspiration from Daryl's Crystal Printer, because I loved that when I was a kid. And Wild Card as well, you know, the kind of, is it Frank Garcia's Wild Card? Is it? Yeah, I think so. Probably get it corrected. So it was a combination of those two, and I loved those. Thing with Crystal Printer was I just didn't like the orientation. If it was the wrong orientation, you totally mess up the trick, and it had a few things with it. You had to use a full deck. So I thought, if I can make a wild card trick and I can make it anything, I wanted to make it the craziest one I could. So that's why I used a magnet. So I use a magnet card, and the magnet is the way that when you hover above the cards in a certain fashion, the cards change color, they change different formation, they go blank, they're totally blank. And at the end, everything's examinable. It's easy to do. And yeah, so I really like attraction. It's one of my favorite tricks. And that I don't think is through Murphy's or anywhere else. I think the only place you can get it is from me just now. I think Stephen's Magic might do it, but yeah, it's an exclusive with me, attraction is. So yeah, I love that. It's a great trick. And I think the reason is because you've got such a visual element at the end of it. You've got different colors and mashed up cards. And I think when you saw it as well, you were like, wow, it's, what the hell?
I was just blown away. Got to buy that immediately, because that is so cool. Yeah,
I think you bought two copies of it as well, I think, if I remember correctly. And I think you said it's probably one of the best wild cards you've ever seen. I was like, wow.
I bought two. I bought one for me and I bought one for Ryland. And he does. Oh,
yeah. Thank you.
He loves it as well as I do. So, incredible trick. Incredible trick. And you know, I think that's what I want people who are watching this to understand. You know, you're a new dealer. You took a huge risk. And, you know, I run four businesses, and I've been involved in business my entire life. And I was speaking to somebody a little while ago, and I said I would never be a magic dealer in a million years for 1,000 different reasons. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you've said, you know, and you're not, you know, you've come from a very successful career in a very, you know, difficult industry. And you've just said, you know what, I'm gonna take all that, I'm gonna put a pin in it, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna follow my dreams, and you've started making it a success, and you're building a name up for yourself, and you've continued to put out quality item after quality item and get more people to know who you are whilst battling with a global pandemic. talk about inspirational, man. You're doing great, you're doing absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Craig.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, my wife's still, like, you know, our marriage is still hanging on by a thread. So everybody buy loads of my stuff to kind of please my wife. I'm only joking, but it's good. I think it's the people that kind of really make it enjoyable. I know that sounds a bit cliche and stuff like that, but it is. I love getting emails from people. I love people sending me their versions of tricks and stuff. And I think it's really nice because it actually, you know, sometimes when you send an email out to like hundreds, you know, I've not got like millions of people on my email list, but once I send it to like hundreds, maybe 1,000 people or whatnot, and you know, you don't get any response. It's like, have people looked at it? But sometimes, you know, you get calls and you get people sending you emails back, and it's nice that people are, you know, are paying attention. So it's quite strange like that. I think now if you're putting stuff on social media, people comment on it and you can get that dialogue straight away. But with email, it's a little bit different because they've got to then take the time to review it, email you back and stuff like that. So yeah, it's nice. So if you've got any comments, or people can email me anytime, or they can send me a message or give me a call, you know, I'm always happy to chat through things as well.
That's great. That's absolutely fantastic. And that's what I wanted to ask. People that are watching this, they want to get in touch with you. They want to pick up some magic. They also want to get those freebies that you talked about. Where do they go? How can people reach out to you?
Yeah, so just jump onto my website, www.neomagic. Let me see if I can find somewhere to spell that. It's just N-E-O, so that's the kind of, that's what the logo looks like. That's it just there. neomagic.co.uk, if you guys can see that. Okay, so it's just neomagic.co.uk. I'm on Facebook as well. I'm on Instagram as well. So just hit me up on those two channels, which I use regularly as well. And yeah, just go, if you don't want to buy anything, just, you know, jump on and subscribe. That even helps as well. And even just, you know, a shout out as well really helps to kind of raise the profile and stuff as well, and break through some of the noise as well that's out there. So yeah, I'm always here. If I'm at conventions and stuff, come and say hi to me as well. You know, just shoot the breeze with me. And I'll be more than happy to kind of have a chat with you, and maybe a beer afterwards as well.
Sounds perfect. Absolutely perfect. And I want people to support you. I really do. And I, mini exclusive here. I have spoken to you. We are going to get you back on the channel in a few weeks to do a review show special, aren't we? So we're going to do a review show special on Neo Magic, and we're going to be looking at some of your most iconic products. So I'm really looking forward to that. But everybody who's watched this, I want you to go and support. I want you to go and support Vinny. He's a really good guy. Vinny Neo Magic is a really good company. I know so many people that have shouted from the rooftops about how good a job you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
So, you know, I really do believe we've got to support people like you that are taking a risk. So, thank you so much. And this has been an incredible interview. It's a really interesting story. You know, kind of going from a lawyer having an accident, setting up a magic dealership. You know, I think you've done the thing that a lot of people wanted to do,
yep, but
haven't had the balls to do it. And you've gone and said, you know what? You only live once.
yep.
Perfect.
Let's just do it. Yeah. So if anybody wants any advice, then I'm more than happy to share my kind of experiences with them as well. They'll have like different experiences, but I'm more than happy to let them know some of the pitfalls, and if they want to set up their own business, probably don't sell your house 6 months or, you know, 8 months before you do to get married. But yeah.
If I'd have done that to my wife, I think she would have divorced me before married. Man, you must have the best wife in the world.
She's a good cookie. She came down to Blackpool as well in 2018 when I kicked off, and I thought she was going to hate it. She absolutely loved Blackpool convention as well, and she, you know, she was doing the book test to people like Ben Hanlon as well, who did Strictly Come Dancing, the magician and stuff. So she really enjoys it, and I think that's part of it. People remember her as well as me, so we're kind of a family, you know. So we keep it just me and Sheena. We kind of we kind of deal with all things, so it's nice that I've got that support from her. I think without it, it would have been a very bleak journey.
Wow. That's great. And I totally relate to that, because I couldn't do Magic TV without my wife, Sarah. I couldn't do anything without my wife. I'm completely incapable of actually even existing on this planet without my wife. So I totally understand where you're coming from. I really do.
Good. Yeah.
So yeah, man, thank you so much. I hope to see you back on the channel again soon with a review show special. Guys, I really want you to support Vinny. I really do. Leave a comment down below. He's very active on social media, so if you leave a comment down below, he will see it, and hopefully reply. And don't forget, go check out the website that was on the bottom of the screen earlier. Go follow him on Instagram and Facebook and all that fun stuff. Sign up for the mailing list and go buy some magic. But Vinny, one more time, thank you very much, my friend.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you so much. Guys, I'm going to be back again soon with another video. I'll see you then. My name's Craig from Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.